In this session, we're going to look at the loan relationship rules. There are four principal things that we should know about loan relationships, and these are as follows. Number one, the definition as to what a loan relationship actually is. Two, be able to identify debits and credits relating to those loan relationships. Three, distinguish between trading and non-trading loans. And four, be able to deal with the tax treatment of those debits and credits. So turning first to the definition of a loan relationship. A loan relationship is basically any transaction involving the borrowing or lending of money. Given that definition, I'd like you to tick the appropriate boxes as to whether you think the items listed constitute loan relationships or not. Once you've ticked the appropriate box for each item, select Continue. Starting with the debentures in a company. These are clearly loan relationships, as the debenture holders have lent money to the company. Government gilts. These again are a loan relationship, because of course the gilt holders have lent money to the government. A bank deposit account is also a loan relationship, as it's effectively a company lending money to its bank, as the company has the right to receive the contents of that account in money. Equally, a bank overdraft is an amount of money the company has borrowed from the bank, so that is also a loan relationship. The company's debtor ledger, although it is an amount of money owed to the company, it is not actually a loan relationship, as it has not arisen through the lending of money, but has arisen through the company either selling goods or providing services to customers. The only exception to this rule is where the company's business is that of borrowing and lending of money, such as a bank. And finally, a loan to an employee is also a loan relationship, because again it is a transaction involving the borrowing or lending of money. Let us now take a look at debits and credits. Debits and credits for loan relationships follow the accounting treatment, i.e. the profit and loss definition, in that debits are expenses and credits are income. The amounts put through the accounts are the amounts that are tax deductible if expenses, or taxable if income. This includes amounts recognized in the company's statement of recognized gains and losses, or statement of changes in equity, or any other statement of items brought into account in computing the company's profits and losses for that period. The amounts put through the profit and loss account and other statements for accounting purposes are interest receivable and interest payable. They include prior year adjustments, but not the corrections of fundamental errors. In the case of a fundamental error, the company should amend the return for the earlier period. It is not just interest that comes within the loan relationship rules. All debits and credits in relation to the debt liability are taxed under the rules. Taking a look at the example on the screen, tick the boxes where you consider debits and credits have arisen in respect of a loan relationship. Once you are ready, select Continue. The answer is that all of the items are debits or credits on loan relationships, as they are amounts that will have been put through the profit and loss account relating to the loan, i.e. interest payable will be put through the P&L as an expense, early redemption penalties and bank arrangement fees likewise. Equally, bad debts will be written off through the profit and loss account, and also there is a line on the P&L account for the loss on disposal of assets that would represent losses on the disposal of, say, loan stock. The only exception is that where the parties are connected with each other, and here we are usually looking at one person or company controlling the other, any amounts written off between them are not allowed. This is dealt with later in this session. Let us now look at the distinction between trading and non-trading loans. The distinction determines the tax treatment, and therefore, the question we must ask is, what is the purpose of the loan? This could be a trading purpose, where the funds are used to generate income which is taxed as trade profits. An example could be a loan to buy stock used in the trade. The loan could equally be for a non-trading purpose. This is where the funds are used to generate income which is taxed other than as trade profit. A good example of this, for instance, could be a loan taken out to buy units in a unit trust, which generates investment income rather than trading income. Taking a look at the example on the screen, I'd like you to determine whether the purpose of the particular loans are trading or non-trading. Once you have ticked the appropriate boxes, select Continue.
The loan taken out to buy the factory is a trading loan, providing the factory is used by the company for the purpose of the trade. The loan taken out to buy rented premises generates property business income. As this is not income taxable as trade profit, the loan is a non-trading loan. The loan taken out to buy shares on the stock market produces dividend income. Again, this is not taxable as trade profit, so the loan is a non-trading loan.
Equally, the loan taken out to buy shares in the trading subsidiary is also a non-trading loan, because again, these shares will generate dividend income. It doesn't matter what the subsidiary actually does. What is important is that we are buying shares, and shares do not generate trading income. The loan taken out to lend money to a subsidiary for the purposes of its trade is again a non-trading loan, because the loan is not taken out to fund the trade of the lending company. This is, of course, on the assumption that the lending company is not a bank.
Let's now look at a numerical illustration which covers everything we have looked at so far. On your screen is information about Soraya Limited. The company borrows £10 million from a bank on the 1st of March 2010 for trade purposes. Interest is payable quarterly in arrears at an annual rate of 5.75%. The company paid a loan arrangement fee of £75,000 on the 1st of March 2010, when the loan was taken out, and the loan is for a period of 5 years. We have been asked to calculate the amount of corporation tax deduction available in Soraya Limited's year ended 30th of September 2010. Soraya Limited has a year end of the 30th of September 2010. During the year, on the 1st of March 2010, the company borrows £10 million. This £10 million loan has therefore been borrowed for 7 months of the chargeable accounting period. Corporation tax relief is available for 7 months' worth of interest on the loan, regardless of how much Soraya Limited has actually paid in interest during the year. The interest payable is therefore £335,417. Although the £75,000 of loan arrangement fees are paid up front on the 1st of March 2010, Soraya Limited will only obtain tax relief for these fees over the life of the 5-year loan. Since the loan has only been outstanding for 7 months of the year ended 30th of September 2010, the company will only receive tax relief on 7/12 of the annual amount of loan arrangement fee, which equates to £8,750. The total amount on which Soraya Limited will receive corporation tax relief in its year ended 30th of September 2010 is £344,167. Relief will be given in arriving at the company's trade profits, since the loan was borrowed for a trade purpose.
This now leads us to the tax treatment. First question we ask is, what is the purpose of the loan? And we split that between trading and non-trading purposes. We then must identify the appropriate debits and credits. These will be easy, because these will be the amounts that have been put through the profit and loss account.
As far as a loan for trading purposes is concerned, the trading debit is basically treated like any other expense put through the P&L account.
Therefore, the figure that's been put through the account as an expense is allowable for tax, and no separate adjustment will be required on the corporation tax computation.
Equally, trading loan relationship credits are taxed as trading profit, but this only applies to banks and other money lending institutions whose normal trade consists of borrowing and lending of money. For most companies, any interest receivable or similar items are treated as non-trading, unless they are money lenders.
Let us now look in more detail at the non-trading route. Debits and credits on the non-trading side are pooled together, effectively drawing up a P&L account, especially for non-trading loan relationship items. What drops out at the bottom is either a net debit or a net credit.
A net credit is simply where the amount of income taxable exceeds the expenses relievable. A net credit is taxed as a non-trading profit from loan relationships. A net debit is effectively a non-trading loan relationship loss. We call this a deficit. So we need to think about methods of loss relief for this deficit. The reliefs available for non-trading loan relationship deficits are very similar to the rules relating to trading losses, which are covered in a later session.
First of all, relief is allowed in the current year against total profits, which are the income and gains of the company before deducting qualifying charitable donations. This is given in priority to a trade loss relief. So, therefore, if a company has a non-trading loan relationship deficit and a trading loss in the same year, and makes two separate current year claims, the non-trading loan relationship deficit will be relieved first.
There is also a carry-back provision, whereby the non-trading loan relationship deficit loss can be carried back 1 year and set against non-trading loan relationship profits in the previous accounting period.
The carryback claim is the only deficit claim which is determined by a set formula, and consequently is not entirely open to the company to decide the amount of the claim. This is dealt with in more detail in a later chapter.
Non-trading loan relationship deficits are also available for group relief by allowing the loss to be transferred to a fellow 75% group company. We will cover group relief in a later session. Finally, the last resort option is to carry forward the non-trading loan relationship deficit and set it against future non-trading income. This is basically any income in the future year apart from trade profits.
What we generally must remember is the two key rules for relieving losses. Set them off against the income subject to tax at the highest marginal rate and try to relieve them earlier rather than later. This we will deal with in a later session. In the claim, we must specify the amount that we wish to relieve, and therefore it does give us flexibility to use part of the loss in, say, the current year, and part of it carried back, if that's what we want to do. General loss planning will be covered in a later session.
Let us now look at the connected party rules. As we know, the tax treatment normally follows the accounting treatment, which is usually on an amortized cost basis. In simple terms, this means the accruals basis. However, the interest will not be allowed until it has been paid if the lender and borrower are connected with each other and the lender is not within the charge to corporation tax in respect of the loan. For example, the creditor is an overseas company, resident in a non-qualifying territory, or is a participator in a close company, and the interest remains unpaid 12 months following the end of the accounting period. Here we have a close company, A Limited. One of the participators in A Limited is Mr. B. Mr. B lent A Limited some money a few years ago. The annual interest payable by A Limited to Mr. B is £10,000. Assuming A Limited has a year end of the 31st of December 2010, let's look at when the company will obtain corporation tax relief for the interest payable. In the first instance, let's assume that A Limited pays the £10,000 of interest to Mr. B on the 1st of July 2011. This is 7 months after the end of the chargeable accounting period. However, because the payment is made within 12 months after the 31st of December 2010, A Limited will still obtain relief on the accruals basis as normal in the year ended 31st of December 2010. This time, let's assume that A Limited pays the £10,000 interest to Mr. B on the 1st of July 2012. The 1st of July 2012 is more than 12 months after the 31st of December 2010. In other words, the interest has been paid more than 12 months after the end of the chargeable accounting period to which it relates. Therefore, A Limited will only be entitled to corporation tax relief for this interest expense in the chargeable accounting period of payment. In other words, A Limited will receive corporation tax relief in its year ended 31st of December 2012.
For accounting periods beginning on or after the 1st of April 2009, where the creditor is a company, the loan interest will only be allowed on a paid basis where the company is resident in a non-qualifying territory, or effectively managed in a non-taxing, non-qualifying territory. A non-qualifying territory is basically one where there is no double tax treaty with the UK, or where the double tax treaty does not include a non-discrimination clause. Residence is defined as liable to tax by reason of domicile, residence, or place of management. Therefore, for accounting periods beginning on or after the 1st of April 2009, the paid basis will only apply where the creditor company is resident in a small number of these non-qualifying territories. For accounting periods beginning before the 1st of April 2009, the paid basis was more likely to apply to late interest payments. Under the old rules, relief for interest payments under the paid basis applied to all connected overseas creditors where the interest was not paid within 12 months of the end of the accounting period. This old rule was suspended in relation to companies on the 28th of July 2008. Thus, for returns submitted after this date, companies could choose whether or not to apply the old rules. A company may elect, in its corporation tax return for the first accounting period beginning on or after the 1st of April 2009, for the current rule not to have effect for that period. By making the election, relief for late interest payments to all connected overseas creditors continues only to be allowed on a paid basis as under the old legislation. Companies may want to make the election as the timing of relief on a paid basis may be advantageous to them. No election may be made for an accounting period ending after the 31st of March 2011. The election must be made in the corporation tax return for the accounting period in relation to which the election is to have effect.
We must also be aware of the rules relating to amounts written off. Bad debts are recorded in a company's accounts as impairment losses. Tax relief is obtained for such impairment losses simply by the tax treatment following the accounting treatment. These rules do not, however, apply to connected parties.
This can be best illustrated by way of a diagram. Let us say that A Limited and B Limited set up a joint venture with C Limited. A Limited owns 49% and B Limited owns 51%. In order to start C Limited off, both companies lend it £1 million. And they hope that C Limited is going to actually be providing lots of profit in the future.
Unfortunately, this doesn't happen, and C Limited cannot repay the loan, and both A and B have to write off the loans that they have made. As far as A Limited is concerned, this will be a non-trading debit, and therefore deductible in arriving at A Limited's corporation tax profit.
On the other side, however, the amount will be taxable on C Limited. However, it's unlikely that any tax will be paid, because C Limited, if it is in bad financial position, will not actually have the funds to pay the corporation tax. That's all very well for A Limited, because it gets its tax relief and the corporation tax bill is reduced. However, let's take a look at the position of B Limited. B and C are associated companies, because B Limited controls C Limited. Unfortunately, the write-off of the loan has no effect for tax purposes. Therefore, the write-off is not deductible by B Limited and not taxable within C Limited. So just because B Limited wants control, it means that in this situation, if it does not get tax relief, the project goes horribly wrong.